story from the UK this week about children, actually grown children, missing out altogether from a parent's estate, then taking legal action to get what they believe was rightfully theirs. Now, this is something we do see in this country as well. In this case, Heather Lott went to court after her mother, Melita Jackson, left her estate, was worth about £500,000, to animal charities, including the RSPCA. Now, 54-year-old Heather had fallen out with her mother when she was a 17-year-old. She'd eloped with a boyfriend, went off and got married. The marriage worked. They said it'd never last, but they brought up five kids together. But the mother never forgave her, and they didn't have any sort of relationship. So when she died, she made it very clear in her will that the money was to go to these animal charities and not to the daughter. Well, the daughter took it all the way to the High Court in the UK. It took over 10 years for this legal case to be settled, and in the end, she's been given a third of the estate. Now, is that fair that her mother's wishes have not been carried out, have not been fulfilled? Phil?
Well, you know, there's another dimension to this, because the judge, I think, played quite a cunning manoeuvre in that, which raises another ethical question in this story, because the judge basically said you can have a third of it if you spend it to buy the housing association house that you rent. And if you do that, then you won't have to claim rent from the government. So the public purse gets off the hook on this. So,
but in the end, what's it got to do with the government's best wishes when who controlled the estate, the mother, her will has not been satisfied?
Precisely. I mean, it comes down to what the point, and I guess it's a political or an ideological point of view, possibly even a philosophical one, but what is the point of a will? A will is there for the person to put their wishes after they are gone. This is how I want my life's achievements or possessions or what I've done with my life, built up with my life. Here's how I wanted to go forward. So if you accept that idea, it's completely wrong that the state should step in. And this is the nanny state. And Phil, you've kind of underlined it, the fact that the state stepped in, took some of the money kind of in a roundabout way for
itself. So you can have it so long as we get it.
Yeah, is completely against the idea that it is the individual who should make the choice. If, however, you believe, as is a political point of view, that the ownership of, once you're dead, that the ownership of those goods does not belong to your wishes, it belongs to the state, it belongs to your next of kin and so on, then that's the role of the law to step in. But I think it's completely wrong that the state should be able to override someone's
wishes. I hate to say this, but I agree, and I don't know how many times I've said this to you in this last hour, but it does set a nasty precedent, doesn't it? But I think the precedent's been broken so many times already, hasn't it, where sort of wills have been overruled for one reason or another. Often it's because the person isn't of sound mind. And in this case, apparently she did write quite a spiteful will. You know, it wasn't...
She was very clear on what her intentions were.
40 years later, you know, it's sort of like, I don't like your husband, and I still don't, 40 years on.
And it wasn't a case that she'd slipped into mental incapacity in the last 5 years and made some crazy decisions. This was her long-term view about her daughter. Heather McKinnon is a family law specialist with Slater and Gordon. Heather, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, guys.
Is this a situation we see repeated in this country?
Oh, over and over again. Each of the states in Australia has its own legislation or act that determines what happens if someone wants to challenge a will. So in the Supreme Court in Phillip Street today, you'll find judges sitting looking at the issues of whether someone's will should be upheld or overturned. So every day in Sydney, judges have to make those decisions.
And are those decisions made by the judges based on what they believe is fair or what they believe the true intentions were of the person who wrote the will?
Some years ago, we passed an act. It's called the Succession Act. And it says that if you're in a personal relationship with somebody during your lifetime, they've got the right to challenge the will. But obviously, judges will only overturn a will in very unusual circumstances. So usually those cases involve people who are adults but have some sort of disability and aren't able to look after themselves. So the cases that we normally see are children of a first marriage. One of them may have a mental illness or a physical incapacity. Their parent goes on and remarries. When they die, they leave the adult child of the first marriage out of the will. That person can make a claim to say, my parent had a certain amount of capital at the time of their death. I'm unable to support support myself, I think that I should get some of the capital for my future. So there's hundreds of variations, but it's a really hard decision. I'd hate to be the people in Phillip Street making the decision, but they have to look at all sorts of circumstances every day.
And Heather, does the age of the will come into consideration? So if it was written 20 or 30 years ago, does that have less standing than something that's written sort of a couple of years ago?
Yeah, it's like you said, it's a balance. The judges are weighing up whether the wishes of the person who died were current and whether something's happened since. And they're also looking at whether the circumstances of the potential beneficiary is different from when the person made the will.
So, Heather, does it make any difference putting in a negative, in other words, saying, I don't want anything to go to this person? Do judges take any notice of that, or do they just ignore that?
No, they certainly do. So the sorts of things that we see in practice, it's one of the really interesting areas. So you'll get someone who comes forward and says, look, I want half my dad's estate, but I haven't spoken to them for 40 years. Mm. So then you look at things like, okay, what happened at Christmas? Were there Christmas cards? Did people get together? Was it a loving relationship? Did the person who's seeking the estate do anything for the person in their old age? Were they a carer for them? Was there some mutual degree of affection?
And all that would be very difficult to prove and potentially hugely painful for the people who are involved as well. Thank you for your time today, Heather.
Pleasure.
Thanks, Heather.
Heather McKinnon, who's from Slater and Gordon, is certainly a minefield that I know many Australian families go through. But personally, my belief is that the will of the person who's passed away, that should be the will that's carried out.